Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about it and what you can do about seeking the Kingdom of God. We have a lot of distorted, confused, I even use the word goofy ideas about the gospel of Jesus Christ. These have crept in for centuries now into our thinking. We go and we read the Bible and we try to find out what Christ was really talking about. People love to quote Paul out of the context of Paul out of the context of Christ, Paul out of the context of history and what was really going on at the time of Christ. I was asking questions 50 years ago of men who should have known, men who should have been leading us to the banquet table of Christ. Instead, they were leading people to destruction. And now the whole world has gone back into the bondage of the world, has begun and become entangled again in the bondage of the world, in the elements of the world. And they have their religions and they sing their songs and they go to their churches, and they are workers of iniquity, and Christ hates them. That's right, Christ hates them. They say Christ loves them, but it says God hates them because they are the Nicolaitans. They have gone the way of Balaam. They have been deceived. They are under a strong delusion that they actually believe in Jesus Christ, and they are actually daily doing contrary to the way of Christ. They have gone a way that is not cast up. They are gone a way of destruction, and destruction cometh upon them. They will think it's like a thief in the night, but in reality it has been a long time in coming. They have been a long time in rejecting the ways of Christ, and it is time that they repent. Just this week in the news, someone sent me an article about transgenderism pushed by Obama colleges, also facilitating a move towards sex change surgeries as routine. Bizarre, strange, some people write here, sickening society, doomed culture. And they go on in the little article, boys will be boys, but this is no longer the case. Evidently, boys will be girls. And I see more and more people going that homosexuality and perverting the natural use of the body. And you say, well, why is this? Is it because we're drinking out of plastic water containers? Well, maybe that has some effect on it because of the duplicate of certain estrogens in this plastic that simulates the effects of estrogen in the body. But really, Romans 1:26 and 27 says, for this cause God gave them up unto a vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And he's talking about that time to the Romans in Rome, and the reason he could do that, and we see the same thing happening today, is they had done the same thing back then. If we study history, we will see history repeating itself because we are the same today as we were yesterday. Well, God is the same too. And people are being given over to a reprobate mind. Not only in this obvious, bizarre way that we see Michael L. Brown talking about in an article on wind, but we see it in many different ways throughout our society. The decay of the money system. Rome did the same thing. The decay of education. Rome did the same thing. The expansion of welfare systems that degenerated the people. Rome did the same thing. Sodom did the same thing. Babylon did the same thing. What you're seeing as the problem is the symptom of the problem. Romans 1:26 starts, "For this cause." You have to read what goes before that. Go back to verse 19. It says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power of Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is a natural way of things that was built in creation, and people don't understand that. They can't see it. They really don't have any excuse because the evidence is all around them, but they aren't thinking very clearly. Lots of reasons. But if you begin to change and begin to go another way, you will get a clearer thinking. It will be given unto you, and you will begin to understand. But you have to change. What you see society doing today, the path that it has chosen, the destruction that awaits it, is not the fault of, as I said in an earlier show, it is not the fault of the Illuminati. It is not the fault of the Federal Reserve. It is not the fault of some vast underground conspiracy. It is the result of the fact that you're not doing what Christ said. You don't really believe in what he said. Now, many of you don't know what he said, even though those of you who read the Bible, because you have had the Bible taken out of the context of history. It has taken hundreds of years to do this, where you will not understand what Jesus, John the Baptist, even Moses was talking about, because they have twisted the meaning of words to a point where you can't understand the true message that's there, even if you wanted to. But I tell you, if you really want to, you will begin to hear, and we will talk about it. We will talk about that message of Christ so that you can do what Christ said to do, what John the Baptist said to do, even what Moses said to do, which was change the way you're doing things. Repent. Turn around. Go the other way. Will you do that? Can you do that? Do you know what the other way even looks like? That's what we have to start discovering. In verse 21, it said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." They imagine that they believe in Jesus Christ. They are vain about it. My church, my religion, my ideas, my philosophies, my eschatologies. It's vain. You see it in the churches. That's why they have to build these big fancy churches and this wonderful building and you know, this big screen TV and all this wonderful music and, oh, we're all saved and Jesus loves us. Vain. If you're not doing what Jesus said, he don't love you. He hates you. As it says about the Nicolaitan, God hates the Nicolaitan. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. What was the difference between the two? We talk about it in other places. I can't go into it in detail. But Esau sold his birthright for a pot of porridge. Jacob strived to obtain that birthright that Esau did not appreciate. He didn't strive completely righteously. But he wanted that birthright. He wanted those rights and responsibilities. Do you want your responsibilities back? If you don't, you don't get your rights. This is it. This is Christ. This is why he says two sons. One goes out and does. The other one does not do it. He says he believes his father. He says he's going to do it, but he doesn't get around to doing it. Which one is the true son? The one who says he believes, or the doer of the word? Christ makes that clear time and time and time again. But you are not doing what Christ said to do. You are not taking care of one another. You are actually going to men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority one over another, and you're saying, give us free education. Give us health care. Give us Social Security. Provide for us. Protect us. Be our Saul. Fight our battles for us. Make us secure. How many different ways do you say it in what you do? And it's because you do not follow the way of Christ that these things are coming about in your society. Your families are breaking down. Divorce is rampant. People are perverting the natural use of their bodies for their own self-indulgence. You're obese. You're lazy. Now, I know many of you out there are decent, hardworking people, but you need to find the way and start going that way. You are entangled again in a system that is headed for destruction. And we're going to talk about the key that Christ gave us, the key to the kingdom. He gave us, not just Peter, he explained what that key to the kingdom was to Peter. And to us, because they wrote it down, and it's right there in the text. And you don't hear it. Because somebody has crept in and said, oh, this means that he gave the keys to the Peter. And what Peter binds on earth is bound in heaven. No, that is the key. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's why he doesn't want you to make agreements with unbelievers, which you have done. He doesn't want you to make a contract, covenant, or constitution with men who can exercise authority one over the other to be your masters, your rulers, your fathers on this earth to take care of you, your sugar daddies on this earth to take care of you. He wants you to learn to take care of one another in faith, hope, and charity. You cannot do that unless you gather together in some sort of organized network. Organized not from the top, not by your ministers, but by you, the elders. And this is core. God created the family. Man created the government. How do families, if they want to remain free families, govern themselves? How do they do that? He's telling you, even here in Romans, he's telling you. These men were taught this in the Old Testament, and they had twisted it around. The Pharisees had a completely different interpretation of the Torah than other Jews did at the time of Jesus Christ. I'm sure some Pharisees converted to Christianity and the ways of Christianity because they repented from the ways of the Pharisees that had taken the way of Moses down the road to destruction that modern Christendom has taken you down. Modern Christendom has more in common with the Pharisees and their false interpretation of the Torah than they have in common with Christ. And most Christians today have the same view of the Old Testament that the Pharisees were promoting, and so therefore their own Christianity is tainted by that. They do not understand the witness of the Pharisees against Moses, even though they claimed Moses. So therefore, they can claim Christ, and actually be bearing witness against him, teaching contrary to what he said to do. And they do this every day, and almost every church throughout the land. That is a bold and rash statement by me, but I cannot say it any other way. I am saying repent, all you Christians who have it in your heart to hear the gospel of the kingdom, and what you should be seeking, and what way you should be going. Professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. Fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I had a pastor just read this recently in a church I was sitting and visiting. And up there in front of the church was a flag of the United States, a gold fringe flag of the United States. Fine, if it's gold fringe, yeah, that's not the way it should be, but it's so pretty. That's why they get it. They put it up there. And on the top was a golden eagle. When he's talking about these images, you know, these four-footed and creepy things and birds, he lists birds there. He's talking about the golden eagle of Rome. He's talking to Romans, for gosh sakes. They know what he's talking about, those symbols of authority. Nobody worshiped the golden eagle of Rome. It was a symbol of their authority. They had become a indirect democracy and then an imperial power. They had become a socialist state with their own system of Corban that you had to pay in through the temples. They were registering the births of the children. It wasn't yet mandatory as it became in 168 AD, which brought about some of the most severe persecutions of Christians because they would not do it. And why would they not do it? Because it was making the state their father. And Jesus said, call no man on earth their father. We detail this out. And we'll get into what's happened in America and how it's happened. But do not get into the conspiracy theory. I'm just explaining how you got to where you are so you know the way back. They are always going to be men tempting you. There's always going to be men contriving systems that you could become a part of. There will always be this Saul syndrome in the world. The solution is core. Coming together in faith, hope, and charity to be the government of God, operating according to the perfect law of liberty. That means you have to gather together in small, intimate groups with the idea of connecting that group through love only to other groups all across this country and every other country in the world. That is pure religion. To do that for the purposes of being the benefactors who don't exercise authority. That is pure religion. If you are not striving daily to do that, if you are letting your eschatology keep you from forming those cores, those congregations of record, those free assemblies, get away from all the theology and eschatology. The simplicity of the gospel is to love one another as God has loved you by sending his own son to sacrifice and serve you. If he would come as king to serve, you must, as kings and priests, serve one another. You can only do this if you love righteousness, because it is not righteous to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. It is not right to kill and murder. It is not right to commit adultery. It is not right to bear false witness. And if you will write those virtues in your heart that are necessary for a free society, allow God to write it in there, and begin to walk in the ways that Christ and the early church were showing people how to do, there is hope. If you do not, there is no hope, because you have already made idols of these systems that exercise authority. You have already become the beast that takes away from your neighbor, that robs your neighbor, that covets your neighbor's goods. And this is what Paul is talking about. When he's not talking about making statues. and people bowing down like some sort of B movie. He's talking about creating these symbols of exercising authority. They knew that when he was writing the Romans, because they understood the gospel. These were the men who had turned around and they were taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity. They could have gone to the welfare system of Caesar, but they weren't doing that. They had formed a system of pure religion. And they had done this by networking together. This was the way. If you're not going that way, you will find yourself given over to unnatural lusts. All kinds of unnatural lusts. Wherefore God hath gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The creature there is an institution. That is actually translated institution elsewhere. And that's what you do. You bow down and serve your institutions because you have prayed to men. You have applied to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. It is not to be that way with you, according to Christ. And because it is that way with you, they will take away and take away and take away your sons and daughters, make their instruments of war, disarm you, starve you, regulate you, imprison you, because you are already entangled in the evil of the world, the elements of the world. You will look at those elements will melt with a fervent heat. They will be destroyed, and your whole system, your unrighteous mammon, will collapse. You need to be ready, and we're going to be talking about this and how this works, but it's up to you to begin to turn around and go that way. And that's why I say get on hisholychurch.org, join the Living Network, go to thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org, join the network, start forming congregations of record, start joining with other congregations of record, even if they're one or two states away, join with them and have them explain how you can start a congregation of record in your own area. Get on other radio broadcasts. We're on the air over 6 hours today in different places, the different programs. You should be working to be a part of that. And then we will grow this network. And then more and more of you will begin to understand and walk the path that Christ told us to walk to begin with. If I go to verse 16 here, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm going back before the 19th verse. I started at Romans 1, 26 and 27, and we're all the way back to the 16 now. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul was preaching the gospel of Christ, which was to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry about coming out of Babylon until you have come together. This is why Moses had to wait till the people got through the plagues and came together. And then as a peculiar people, they were able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. But if you will not come together, it is not every man for himself. We are not to be a scattered flock. We are to come together in a structure. Those dry bones are to fit together according to the ways of Christ. You have to do that. It is your job as elders of every family to make that happen. If you will not make that happen, it will not happen for you. You will not be free souls. You will be under tribute, and you will go down with the collapse of their system. You will not be fit for more righteous habitations because you have not been righteous in what you have been doing. And we'll explain more about this. We'll show you how the system works when we get back to Keys of the Kingdom in a moment. Thank you.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about core, what's core to the kingdom of God and seeking that kingdom of God, how it operates, how we have strayed away from it, and why we have strayed away from it, and the symptoms of a society that has strayed away from it. And we were in Romans first chapter and verse 16, and we actually have a study up on Romans at preparingyou.com. And there we talk about what Paul was really telling the Romans, who were the faithful Romans, those that were diligent in their faith, those who were obedient in faith. He starts right off talking about those who are obedient in faith. In other words, the doers of the word, and what that actually and how that actually changed their lives. and their relationship to the world. Most of the time when you see the word world in the New Testament, they're using a word that means constitutional order or system of government. And Jesus' system of government, what he calls the kingdom, and he gives those keys to us all as to the keys to that kingdom. He explains it to Peter that kingdom operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, by loving one another, by not forsaking the gathering together and coming together and providing all the benefits of government through faith, hope, and charity, not through force, not with the point of the spear or the point of a gun, forcing their neighbors to contribute to their welfare, but in pure religion through faith, hope, and charity. So anyway, in verse 16 of that first chapter of Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." So we know Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ, not a new gospel, but the gospel of Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith, not by force, not by forcing their neighbors to provide them with free education and free health care and free welfare, but by faith. And the fact is that everybody who are receiving benefits from the world, from the organized system and constitutional order that you have created and is symbolized in the statues that you make, the golden eagles on the top of your flags, the flags themselves, these are the symbols of that authority that you use, those men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other to provide you with your salvation and life today. You are not living by faith in Christ's way of love. You are living by your faith in the fathers of the earth, who you prayed to with your application. And all the stuff you do in your church is just to justify that in your mind. It is to create a cognitive disconnect between what you're doing and what you say you believe in. And therefore, you are condemned to destruction. And to go the way of destruction, you will be under tribute. You will not be free souls under God, and you will not find the kingdom unless you see that you have gone away, not cast up, but a way that is not righteous, a way that is covetous, and that you have been made merchandise. Once you see that is what brought you into this present bondage to the world, to the elements of the world, then you can begin to turn around. And you can do it legally. You can do it righteously now, by gathering together and start providing for one another in faith, hope, and charity. Start. Just start. You're not going to be able to do it all. You know, we talk about homeschooling. You could probably all do homeschooling before the month is out if you would start to gather together. We have people in the network that are already and have been teaching their children at home for generations. Even if you're a single parent, you can start to gather together and work together to take care of your children. If you don't have children anymore, gather together so that you can serve someone else, helping them teach their children at home. Work with them to teach their children at home. You can be doing that. I'm not talking about creating private schools where, you know, 500 students attend and use curriculums that pass down from the public school systems and the history books that are available today in modern schools. Those history books have all been devastatingly distorted. All. And we can show you the whole history of that. I've got a collection of books, of school books that go all the way back to the 1800s. And I can show you that they changed them. I discover that. Then I can show you the study that was done by order of the United States Congress that shows that they have changed your school books. I can put you in touch with groups that have studied this and show you that they are changing the way in which your children view history, that they are dumbing your children down. I can't believe how smart my grandkids are. I thought my kids were smart, but my kids are now teaching their kids. Their hands and fists over our kids, and our kids were hands and fists over the kids down at the public school. We just started homeschooling because we lived 40 miles, 80 mile round trip to school. And we thought, well, we can do first grade. By the time they were done with first grade, they were already done with third grade by the standards of what they were doing down there in the public schools. And it was only taking a few hours a day, and we didn't know what we were doing. But we have people in the network now that are getting pretty darn good at homeschooling. And they're learning it. And if you work together in cores, congregations of record, congregations of love, you can do this. You can start that. Home health, next job. You can start that. You start it. If you were to do it in an organized way with these little core documents that we show you how to make, which are easy, and they're not binding. They're not corporate. They're not where you all of a sudden have to pay a dues or something, or give us your firstborn. It's just bearing witness. We show you how to do this so that you will be excluded from the new healthcare system. But you got to do this in earnest. You can't just come so you can get out of something else. You have to come because you want to take back your responsibility as a free society in faith, hope, and charity. You want to be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people through faith, hope, and charity instead of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. If you want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare the way you've been doing for the last 100 years, go right ahead and do it. But know this, you betray Christ. You have turned your back on Christ and you take his name in vain. Write it down. I said it to you. You have heard it here. Repent. And that's what I'm doing. I'm the voice of a one in the wilderness, out here in the wilderness, crying to you, make straight the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord is living by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. In verse 17 he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You have heard that Christ came, but you are not doing righteousness if you are forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Bingo. You are betrayed the gospel of Christ. You are not doing what Paul said. You need to come together and be the benefactors who don't exercise authority. Now, someone else writes this week on the network, another minister. He says he was grown up being dependent on, as wards, a whole life going to public school, doing this as if that's the only way to do it. And it's just not. What our dependence and indoctrination translates to is people look to and want leaders. They just want benevolent, kind rulers that only exercise authority with kid gloves. You ain't gonna get it. You got that? You are told. Go read Samuel 8. It is the history of your last 100 years. You are now rejected God a long time ago. Your whole system is based on a rejection of God, and your preachers are just there to make you feel good about it. That's what they're doing. Now, I know there's some decent guys out there in those churches. But I know there's a lot of other decent guys who have already left the churches because they see them as full of hypocrisy. Well, if you're not doing what Christ was saying, what the early church was doing, you're full of hypocrisy too. If you're not striving daily to be the righteous government of God, to be the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you're full of hypocrisy too. You're a foolish virgin. You're not saved. You're not out of the system. You're just full of it. I don't know how I can say it. You're not full of the Holy Spirit. You're not doing what Christ said. You're not doing what the early church was saying to do. You're doing something completely different. Recently, just, you know, we're actually starting to make some these cartoon videos. And I've seen some of the first ones that some of the elders are putting out. Some of the ministers of record are starting to put out. We haven't started uploading them yet, but those that are in the network are starting to see them. And some of them are pretty good. And I think they'll get better and better at it. But they showed, as an example, one that was put out by Larkin Rose's alien video. And it has this alien talking to a guy, and he's explaining the government, and the alien is trying to talk back, but they didn't quite see in that video, and I'm not picking on Larkin, this is common. They don't really see the solution. They see a problem. I got it. There's a problem. They don't see the solution. We want to get into the solution here, and we want to get into it today. If the people who can learn to govern themselves, they would construct an intentional community that needs less government. The community that only needs to create offices of services. That's it. That's what Moses was doing. There were offices. The Levites were the government, but they did not exercise authority. That's why all the funds that supported that government, from the military to welfare to whatever, were given to the Levites through faith, hope, and charity. Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. Whole government operating with free will offerings. How did they do it? Congregations of 10 families gathered together, picked a minister from a pool of Levites. Those Levites had to meet certain qualifications, and we can show you in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, that Christ imposed those same qualifications on his disciples. They had to meet those same qualifications. He says it clearly. But if you don't know history, if you don't know what the Levites are doing, I'm amazed at the number of Jews that don't know what the Levites were doing. Even though it says it right, even in their poor translations. And we can show you that too. And we show you that in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. We show you what the words really meant and what most Jews believed they meant at the time of Christ. Except for a large portion of the Jews who knew what the Torah really said would not take oaths like Christ said. So therefore, they could not enter in to government offices of Herod, who required oaths of allegiance by that time in history. But Christ said, don't take any oaths. If you didn't know that in history, you don't know what he's talking about when he said stop the taking of oaths. When James says above all else, stop the taking of oaths. They were creating a system that operated by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. They didn't need no oaths. They didn't need to bind you to contracts. You were bound together as Christians in love, in a real system that functioned and worked. You could no longer go to the temple and get the welfare of the Pharisees. If you got the baptism of Christ, you couldn't go get that. So they gathered together. That's what they were doing most of Pentecost, was organizing themselves into congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands, which you see throughout history from that day on in Christendom until about 1,000 years ago when someone went around murdering Christians by the millions and saying, no, you just have to look up to us. We're the authority and you're not. And now here we are, little tiny pockets of Christianity. Little tiny people waking up, a little voice out here in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord. And we see the beast devouring who he wills. You need to put on the full armor of God, not get entangled again in the elements of the world, but create a system that will allow you to live without those elements, without those benefits. You can only do that if you start operating by love. And God is moving in the hearts of people that are beginning to wake up to do this. But evil is also working in the hearts of people that are willing to destroy this. And apathy destroys the kingdom of God more than anything else, but it cannot destroy it because apathy is the absence of good. Apathy is out of darkness. They build their whole system on you being ignorant. If you stop being ignorant and start seeking the righteousness of God, the whole world will change. And that means you have to develop core. In the next show, we're going to talk about how they led you away, how you've been brought into bondage. And we will even quote some of the people who told you what they were going to do. Now, some of these quotes I don't include in the book, The Covenants of the Gods. I don't include them in there because I've never been able to verify that they're true. I went and looked yesterday and early this morning, looking to see if this quote could be verified. You'll find it all over the place. They say that, you know, some places like on Paul Daily, I think that's what they call it, or Daily Paul, they have this quote. And they say they haven't checked it out on Snopes. I checked it out on Snopes. Snopes doesn't even address it. They don't say it's not real, but it's everywhere, and yet I can't verify it. But I can verify the truth of the quote. The quote is from a guy who was a close friend of Woodrow Wilson, helped Woodrow Wilson get elected. He was a very powerful, influential banker. His name was Colonel Edward Mendel House. And he has this quote that floats all over the place. It says, "Very soon every American will be required to register their biological property." That's you and your children, in parentheses, somebody added that, in a national system designed to keep track of the people and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a charge back for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced. And when I read this, I don't even believe that he could have said this so clearly at the time. He says, every American will be forced to register or suffer being unable to work and earn a living. They will be our chattels, property, and we will hold the security interests over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificates. I really don't believe this quote is true, that it actually came out of his mouth because of the vocabulary here. But the fact is, it's true what he's saying to a great degree. It's not the birth certificate isn't the key. We explain all that in the book Thy Kingdom Come and in the pamphlet Call No Man on Earth Father. We show you the history of birth certificates. The birth certificate by itself is nothing. It requires two other steps. This is as ancient a law, and we do show you sources. I can never find the source of this quote. It's just supposedly something he said in a private conversation. I don't know who wrote it down and who's passing it on. But he goes on to say, to us will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us profit, and they will be none the wiser, for not one man in a million could ever figure out plans, and if by accident one or two should figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. It just does not seem to be that he would be able to define this so clearly at that time and in this particular vocabulary, having read hundreds and hundreds of documents of the time. But what is being said is true. He goes on to say, after all this, is the only logical way to fund government by floating liens and debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. They will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servants. However, begrudgingly, the people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office presidency of our dummy corporation, USA, to foment this plot against America. USA was in parentheses, and office of presidency was also in parentheses, so it's not a part of the original quote. But I don't find evidence that that original quote is actually in who recorded this private conversation. Where's the footnotes that references it? It doesn't exist. The vocabulary sounds off, but the fact of what they're saying is pretty darn true, and that's why we never included this quote in the book and did not see any reason to include it. It would be irresponsible of us. I mention it here just to show you that this kind of stuff is actually known by people, but it doesn't show you the solution. The funny thing is, they were doing the same thing at the time of Christ in both Judea and in Rome, and Christ preached the solution. But somehow or other, people have divorced that solution from what's going on in their real life. And they do it with all, which is why we've had to write books like The Higher Liberty, and why we've had to write books like Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, because we have these layers and layers of deception. But we show you the actual book, quote from the actual book, written by the guy who devised the Social Security system, how they devised it, why they devised it. I mean, that you can get that in the Library of Congress. It's not a secret, although it may become a secret. It's not a secret. It's just a secret because of your sloth and you haven't been studying this. We show you how the system works. We show you how it works today. We show you how it worked in Rome. We show you how and why the Christians were doing something completely different. I mean, the Covenants of the Gods doesn't show you the solution, but it certainly points to it by showing you the problem. Most of you didn't make that connection, so we wrote the book, Thy Kingdom Comes. But the key element, the core element to your salvation is Christ, and Christ showed us through the gospel and through the activities of the early church, which are just the activities of early Israel, that you form free networks of free assemblies of core groups made of elders who take back their responsibilities, help one another learn to live without praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, and you will have the grace of God come out and meet you on your road and your journey back to the service of God. If you do not do that, you will not receive the miracles of God. You will not be protected by His pillars of fire. You will not be saved. You will go into damnation. You will go into destruction, and there's nothing I can do about it. God will not even hear your prayers. He says this over and over again. But we're going to talk more about the solution in the next show of Keys to the Kingdom. So be there.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.